The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's Come the on. Weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. It's the Geek Enders Show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's
I thought you had like a flow going, Geek but Enders you were kind of all over the place.
What
you were
do
like,
you mean? Hello.
It should have been, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. You went, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show.
You're screwing yourself up now.
No, that was...
You're not sure. You're not sure. You lost the bar, dude.
I am not sure. I watched you. I wasn't sure where we were going.
Everyone, hello. Welcome to Geek Enders. It's just it's a Jessup and Dukes episode today.
It's true. It's true.
So.
Hey.
Yeah.
Do you want some inside baseball really quick, internet? Can I tell you some stuff?
Yeah.
This is going to be great. Everyone's going to love this. So... usually, this is mostly for VOD viewers too. Usually, there'd be a intro that is related to our upcoming game, Gestalt's Demon Cinder. However, we're pulling it because it has a release date at the end of it that is inaccurate now, ladies and gentlemen. It's inaccurate.
Yeah.
And you might say, Jesse, why is that? Well, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to give you the hot tip, the tip that isn't just for the public. It isn't just for everyone. No, it's for you. We just wanted some more time to polish it, and it wasn't going to take that long. And you'll all very much understand quickly where I'm going with this. We wanted to polish it. It was going to be like, you know, maybe like 2-3 weeks. It wasn't going to be that crazy. So people, not Jesse, people said,
no names.
What if we release?
We don't need any names.
Yeah, no names.
No names.
What if we release end of June, like June 20th, 21st, something like that? And the conversation we had to have that was like, hey, yeah, something big comes out that day, and I feel like that's a terrible idea, and we definitely shouldn't do that. And, you know, it was
but
a
why?
Thing.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Games come out on the same day all the time.
Yeah, some game. We don't know. It does. Like, it's unimportant, whatever that game is. Whatever that world-changing game that everyone's going to be talking. Like, who cares? So we had to have that conversation. And then it was like, okay, well, where do we push it? And then, much like Yoshi P in the presentation given for Dawn Trail said, and I quote, mm-hmm. I'm pushing our release back a week because I don't want to interfere with Elden Ring. I don't want to interfere with my Dawn Trail time. So it's being pushed back. And the new release date is July 16th, I believe. So that is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Tune in for that. We're making a whole brand new trailer. It's going to be awesome. We're in the office right now cooking up something good. So get ready. And,
Claps for the team. Yeah. A round of applause.
So that's our inside baseball. Just being like, we're not releasing the same day as Elden Ring.
Don't do
like,
this.
Like, I cannot stress this enough to you. I was like, so much time and energy has been put into this. Do not release on Elden Ring Day. I was like, please don't. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's to you know, make sure that the game is great for launch. Yeah.
It's really just to polish up and make sure it's good. It's like a great game, but you know, you got to make it sparkle and shine these days. And I'd rather it sparkle and shine and get great, you know, word spread. It is 8 a.m., Jesse.
We need some good word spread.
Y'all, we need good word spread.
You know what this is reminding me of? Yesterday during Deadbeats when we were sending each other terrible t-shirts. I feel like there's a shirt there. Word spread, man spread. There's a terrible shirt there.
Yeah, boy, this is the inside baseball episode. So I just want to say to our lovely Geekenders crew, before we come on camera, we are trouble. Just all sorts of, mostly Dodgers trouble.
What do you mean?
Yesterday on Brett Ultimus's lovely channel, we were goofing, messing around, having a good time before we had, I want to say, one of the most emotionally jarring episodes of that show ever. Literally every character had a moment where it was just like, wow, we are dealing with issues.
Yeah.
Anyway, that moment before the issues was t-shirts that were dirty as hell.
Okay,
t-shirts,
here's the reason,
that
though.
You
want to
buy.
I want to give context, though, that for some reason, the Kirkland brand, which if you don't live in America, is the name brand of Costco things, okay? So for some reason, the Kirkland brand had come up like weeks ago, and I, in the Deadbeats chat, had posted a shirt that is a picture of the Costco Kirkland hot dog, like, advertisement, and it says, I've got that dog in me.
Right, which is fine. That's a good shirt. That's
okay?
Good.
Really good. That's shirt, solid. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
But no one else had said anything in that chat for weeks. And Summer was talking about their like re-debut with their VTuber and stuff, and was like, here, I'll post a picture. And Brett was like, please, I'm begging you, post a picture in the Deadbeats chat, because I can't fucking look at that I got that dog in me shirt anymore. That's all he needed to say. And then it was just... And then it just went so downhill, because I clicked on it and then it was like, man, you really like this shirt, huh? Here are some other bangers. Here are some other great shirts.
I'm going to regale you with some of these amazing shirts, chat.
Yeah.
The first one Dodger sent.
Not safe for work, by the way.
Oh, none of them are safe for work. But the first one Dodger sent is like a metal, like if you're a metal band, like the album art cover of like a skeleton that's like, and then above it, it says, my balls itch. That was one. It's actually really funny.
It's great.
That was pretty good.
That's a great shirt.
She said, this one is the craziest thing I've ever seen. This shirt says, I'm a male. Mom against vaping, frontline medical gamer, grumpy old man who lives at 420 Christian Values Road, who married a jet ski owning gas station attendant. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that shirt is.
It's one of those shirts where like the words go all the way down the back in like different fonts and different block lettering. But intended to make absolutely no sense, and it succeeds, I think.
Yes, that was one shirt. I found a great shirt that I'm really proud of, and I want to buy it immediately. It's a picture of a frog, and he's like this, holding a gun, and the frog's like, and it says, strawberry jams, but my Glock don't. And that is awesome. That frog's like...
Oh, that is such a good shirt.
Yeah, so... That's a shout out to Etsy. It's a weird place,
shout
I guess.
Shout out to Etsy, where you can get some real weird shirts. Yeah. There were more, but a lot of them are explicitly
very not safe.
Explicitly about dingle dangles and the like. So we'll keep those to ourselves.
Very not safe. Yeah. Like, imagine a candy brand and then just input the dirtiest thing you can think of while using the same logo. Mm-hmm. So I like, we can't talk. I don't want this to get flagged on you. Knowing YouTube, I don't want this to get flagged. Twitch, they're fine. Twitch is perverts. But YouTube, it's like Puritans over there. So
yeah.
Just imagine the candy Airheads.
Creative.
And then like, yeah, you're creative.
We have creative, wonderful listeners who I'm sure can make a dirty joke out of a candy wrapper. Go crazy.
Yeah, you've seen Butterfingers before. All I'm saying is I don't know where you'd wear those shirts.
No, me neither.
Like, the idea is funny, but are you going to go out in public and be like, like, that is a terrible idea.
Yeah. I mean, I've had some choice shirts, and I still have a couple of articles of clothing where I do not wear them to drop off or pick up my child. But they're not shirts that say, like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Anything I could come up with was not going to be a thing that we want on this podcast. But like, it's not one of those shirts, you know. It's like the Disco Elysium sweater that they sent me when they did the release with full voice acting that says "fuck the world" in giant letters on it. It's that kind of stuff.
Who would ever have anything like that?
I know.
And then show it to the that's stupid.
I know.
You gotta be dumb. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, my favorite is that, and I think I've talked about this before, but my kid can read now.
So I forgot. Oh boy.
Yeah. So the last time I put that sweater on, my kid very sweetly in child voice said, "Mommy, why does your sweatshirt say fuck the world?" And I didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer for that. So
you know what sucks?
Huh?
Is like knowing that in, I'm gonna say 10 years.
Okay.
Minimum.
Yeah.
She'll know. She'll have her answer. Just naturally come to the answer. It's like, oh, I get it now. I get that shirt.
When the ennui of life starts to hit in your teens. Yeah, absolutely. She'll be like, I get it. Do you still have that sweater? And I'll be like, here you go.
Can
honey.
I have that sweater?
Can I have that sweater? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a question for you.
Shoot. Oh, by the way, welcome to Geekenders, everyone. It's just the two of us.
It's just us, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone chats like, hold on, it's just two of them. Some days, it's just going to be us, and we're going to talk to each other. It's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Get ready.
The hard part is, typically, Jesse and I, we're yappers. And so sometimes we have to put a cease and desist on one another to actually get the show started, because we just start yapping for too long. And then we're like, wait, we're not even recording, dude. So yeah. Anyways.
Back to the bit. Yes.
Anyway, back to the bit that I was going to do.
Uh-huh.
When you find a song that you really like, wherever it is that you listen to music,
mm-hmm.
and you want to save it, do you save it in a chaos list of just all of the songs you like, or do you maintain playlists or somewhere in the middle?
I'm kind of in the middle in that. So if I'm on Spotify, for example, I have playlists on there because I need to know where I'm going to find it. 'Cause Spotify is like too big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I have a playlist on there that's called, I think it's called like Leveling Up or something like that. And it's literally 1,000 songs to play in the background while I'm grinding in a video game. And I don't want to think about the fact that I hate grinding.
That's awesome. So I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's mostly like alternative rock. There is a radio station that literally publishes their top 10 every week. And I'll just go and pull from that things that I like and just put it in that. It's great. I have... Actually, what am I doing? What am I doing? I can just look like an adult who just looks.
Yeah.
I have Oh, so many good playlists. I have one called Night Ride, and it is Night Ride is things like
Hotline Miami type music, or
yes, absolutely. It is songs that are things that I would listen to driving the city at night.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
A lot of great. Here's the weird thing: it's got everything from Phil Collins to 311 to The Midnight to oh my God, Tears for Fears. Everything's on here. I got like it's like nighttime music, right?
Yeah.
Then I've got the other one, by the way, the leveling up one's called Songs to Level 2. That's literally what I named it.
Cute.
I have one called Too Cool for School, and it straight up is just everything I would listen to when I thought I was like a cool kid in the late 90s. You got everything in it. I have
songs that are still like near and dear to your heart, but like are from a very specific time in your life.
But made me feel like a straight G. I've got Still Dre and Snoop Dogg. I got Party Up DMX. I got Gangsta's Paradise, Coolio. I got Sound of the Police on here.
Oh my gosh.
I got Jump Around, House of Pain. I got Hustlin', Rick Ross. I got the whole thing. Got Move, Bitch. I got the whole thing. It's great, right?
Yeah.
That's Too Cool for School. Then I got ones I called The Bangers. And The Bangers are just the classic. If you're going to have a part, you got your Earth, Wind, and Fires. You got your Electric Light Orchestras. You got your Bob Marley. You got the Spinners on here. Fleetwood Mac, Rolling Stones. I even got Boston, Dire yeah. Straits. I got the, right? These are the bangers. Then I have one called As a Kite. And I'm going to let you figure out what the first part of that is. And it's songs like, a little Tame Impala stuff on there, 21 Pilots. But like songs that are like mostly just music. You know, Almost Monday things, you know, whatever, just like a little jams. I'm not gonna say what that is. And then I have one I have one called RBF, and it's literally just 30 years of Real Big Fish songs. And then what can I say? I'm a ska guy. And then I have one on here. This is no joke. This is because of you, Dodger.
Oh,
I have one on here. I'm not even fooling around.
Oh, my brother. Oh.
I have one called Jared Lawson.
Aw, that's very sweet.
The man makes good music.
He do.
The man makes good music.
Yeah. He, last time he was out here, he wasn't able to bring like his whole band. So he just came out and like just did the whole thing by himself and like built a song from scratch on the stage and stuff. It was crazy. It was so good. He did amazing.
Have you told them the story of how we were just in a pub one day? That was crazy.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, my brother is like a funk soul musician. He's put out a bunch of music at this point. Very proud of him. He's amazing. But
I'm going to let you know, by the way, I just want to say for the record.
Yeah.
For years, you've said this to me. And for years, I was like, yeah. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. He's a musician. Okay. All right. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm, sure. You're very proud of your brother. I get it. And the first place that his music started to take off was in England for whatever reason. So he was being asked to like come out here fairly consistently. He still comes out here at least once a year to like, you know, tour around the UK and stuff. Anyways, so Jesse came out to like hang out in London. We spent a day together. We were sitting having a beer talking about we were planning I remember you want to know what's crazy is I remember
I do not at all.
We were maybe going to be in a D&D game and we were planning two terrible priest characters that we were going to play.
That does require planning.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Jesse was like, "Here we go. Here's the idea. We're both hyper religious, evil characters." I was like, okay, interesting. Anyways, so we were planning these characters, right? And then I stopped suddenly and I was like, wait a minute. I recognize this music. And I realized that it was my brother. And I texted him and I was like, you're not going to believe it. Your music's playing in the bar that I'm in right now. And he was like, oh, cool. And Jesse was fully alarmed. Like, are you sure?
Let me just stress. It wasn't like one song. They were playing a full ass album. It wasn't like it. They clearly put a CD in or something, yeah, and were just like, "Let's jam." It wasn't one song on a radio, y'all. They put the album in. Crazy. I was blown away. I was like, "No, is this real?" It's wild.
Yeah, this wasn't the first time that Jesse had heard my brother, because Jesse was at my wedding and my brother played at my wedding. But you know,
but again, let me stress to everyone. For years, Dukes has been like, yeah, my brother's a musician, my brother. And then we went, go to the wedding, and a musician does show up, but it's like, the brother. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, yeah, the brother. That doesn't register as you're in a pub in the middle of London, and some dude plays the full album. Like, that is more, that honestly, like, if Dodger and I are here, that's like up here. That's yeah, a level of success that we have not or will never achieve. I was like, whoa, your brother's famous. I had no clue. It was amazing.
Yeah, he's great. I'm very proud of him. He's much older than me and is crushing it. So
it was pretty cool. But that's what I have.
I love that you have his music as a playlist. I think that's very sweet.
Yeah. Let me just say, it's good. I like a good funk. I'm a big fan of funk. Like a baseline. I think I've told this story, and look, I don't know if she's watching. If she is, you're a sweetheart. You're the best. I'll simply say I went on exactly one date with this girl before we realized this isn't going to work out.
Sure.
Right? It wasn't because of her. It's because I literally had no time to meet up again for like 3 weeks. And she was like, I need a real relationship. And I was like, I get it. I get it. But at that date, we went and saw a funk band that only played 90s covers. And it was the greatest. When they broke out, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh my God.
The funk version. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Loved it. Loved it. So that's where I'm at mentally. I love a good like, I love a good bass. Yeah. So I have that on Spotify, but if you go to my YouTube playlist, because YouTube, if you have whatever the hell that YouTube Red Plus thing is,
right?
Which I do because I refuse to watch
YouTube
commercials
music,
on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's the one service I pay for that I'm like, yeah, I need that.
I need it. Yeah,
yeah. You're allowed to download things, and so I download stuff on YouTube all the time. It is the most. There's no order to it. There's nothing going. I have the complete Carl Pilkington's Amazing Science compilation to sleep to. I listen to that on planes sometimes.
Okay.
I have a song called Lucius Next to Normal, followed by The Midnight, then Out of Touch Thursday. Then I have the entire 36-minute version of Tatsumura Yamashita's Future Funk Collection. I have a song called Night Stop Streetwalker. It's like random. It's random stuff on here. There's no order to it. So that's what I'm saying when I say like I'm in the middle. I have a Spotify that's like perfectly cataloged. And then I have YouTube, which is just like random stuff I found that I love.
Do you think that that's partly because I feel like people are more likely to link songs on YouTube then link to songs on Spotify, and so like I wind up getting linked to stuff on YouTube all the time, and then because I don't use YouTube Music or have YouTube Premium or anything, I'll just be like, okay, I'll go search for this song in Spotify. So I don't have like two separate places that my music lives. I am shopping around though. I feel like I shouldn't have everything on Spotify, but just to, you know, not leave you out in the wind and to tell you what my situation is like, I make a playlist, put maybe two songs into it, and then give up. So
I used to be that way.
Yeah.
So I know where you're at.
So I have all of my songs are in one spot. And it's kind of fun in a way because I'll scroll down a little because it writes down when you added that song.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll scroll down and be like, wow, I was really angry in January of 2022, right? Like, what the fuck are all these songs? Yeah, it's just a huge mishmash. And I always think to myself, I should really go through this and organize some of it because I'm sure there's stuff that like, I, you know, if I put it on shuffle with like 400 songs. Like, what's the likelihood that I'll hear that song? You know,
right.
I should probably go through. But like, again, it's so many songs to go through. I don't know if I have the strength, dude.
I mean, that's why I... So I was where you were, where I would make little playlists and stop, and I just have a whole list of songs. At one point in time, I had a drive that I would take with me everywhere, and that drive had like 40,000 songs, like just a ludicrous amount of songs.
When I was in college, I had one of those.
I could not find anything, and what I realized eventually is that I had not just duplicates, but like triplicates of songs on there. Because I wouldn't know that I got the MP3, so I just throw it on.
Right.
And then I go in, and because MP3s, I'm not sure if people remember this. Back in the day when I was, oh my God, I'm trying to think of all the different names, like Napster and
LimeWire and all
LimeWire.
That.
LimeWire. Yeah.
And you just download like a pack of 40 songs and just throw them onto something.
And because nothing had any real names, you could download like California Love, right? But you could also download... ...x14 California Love, and also track 5 .. California Love, and it would never. So if you had multiple versions of a song, you wouldn't know until like 6 years later you had multiple versions of a song. And half the time when you downloaded those packs, you'd be like, "Hello, my fellow Americans, I'm Bill Clinton, and I want you to go subscribe to some website." And you'd be like, "This isn't the song at all." And so it was a mess. It was a weird time, but yeah, you just put it on one drive and you have a million songs on there, and you'd be like, yeah, all my songs are there. And then you'd forget you had half the songs you had.
Mm.
And so that's why I had to be like, yes, 05 untitled.mp3 is exactly what they would be. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's why I started to catalog things. And so now when I find a song, I know where to put it immediately.
Mm.
So even though I might have like 1,000 songs in one playlist, I know that it must be in that playlist, so it's just easier to find. It's still a disordered mess, but I'm like, okay, it's in there somewhere. So at least I'm not searching through a whole drive of songs and just like a little bit of songs.
Yeah, I'm not even sure, because, you know, I've tried to be like, okay, this is my angry girl pop playlist, and this is my metal music playlist. But then I realized, like, but sometimes the vibes of the metal music and the angry girl pop music are the same for me, and I want both. That's my problem. So then it just wound up being easier in my mind to just have it all mixed together.
I had this like weird playlist that was Jesse Just Got Dumped, the playlist. Number one song, Linkin Park, In the End. It's always the jam.
That's so true.
But hilariously, that is also the number one song of a playlist I have called Things to Make Music Videos To. And it's also the number one thing because I have for years said the song In the End, if you watch that music video, it is the exact same quality and exact same graphical fidelity as the movie Final Fantasy Spirits Within. It's so I've been like, I could just combine the two and make a music. The fact that no one's done that to this day blows my mind. It is the exact same graphics. Oh. It's crazy. So,
dude,
you know, it's on my list of things one day I'll do.
Yeah, Linkin Park AMVs.
Mm-hmm.
Name a better duo.
We're everywhere.
You know,
oh my
Linkin
God.
Park can go with anything.
I, having grown up in the world of AMVs and not been like a big anime fan, the video game side of it was wild.
Oh, I bet.
I made a lot of video game AMVs. Like, a lot. It's where I learned to edit. Yeah. They're not great, but like, you know. How great can things be if it's just lots of like angry Linkin Park lyrics to like a guy like battling? It's so bad. It's cringe as shit.
Dude, sometimes when I get really into a fandom again, which is very rare, but when I get really into like Good Omens, for example, I got really into Good Omens when season 2 came out and I was looking up Good Omens stuff, and I started getting Good Omens AMVs, right? And some of them, the production value, incredible, like actually so good. There's a huge divide between I grabbed a bunch of scenes and I slapped some music on top of them, and I made it so that the characters' mouths are moving when the lyrics are happening, and I made it so the transition cues in the music match up with when the scenes swap, and you're just like... The commitment.
That's what I would do.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's how I learned to match mouths. I even learned to go in because a lot of animation, a lot of like when you look at it, if I just go like that, you can, if it's a static shot of the face and the mouth is just moving, you can manipulate the hell out of that. Mm. So even if it doesn't match perfectly, you can go in and like tweak the mouth so it does. And once you're at that level, yo, you can do pretty much anything editing wise, and it's really cool. It's fun.
A lot of you will know our good buddy Octo, who has been well known in a variety of communities in his day. One of his major claims to fame is that he is one of the and the primary creator of 50% Off, which is a parody show for the show Free. Iwatobi Swim Club, which is an anime about swimming boys, okay? And he and I had a long conversation once about mouths, because he was explaining kind of what you were just saying, Jesse, that like, if you decide you're going to make a thing where you want the mouths to line up with things that you're saying, so you record yourself saying a line, and then you put it into a scene for an anime that's already been made, and you need the mouth to match up. And he was like, it's not just a case of like, is the mouth open or closed? You have to grab that mouth in a variety of different positions, even in an anime, to make it really clean. So he said that was the thing that took the most time. Like, it took forever to match up mouths.
But once you get that, the quality of life of a video is just so much better.
Yeah,
it just you feel great about the there's a video I made, and I always think about it because it was one of those test videos. Mm. And it might be out there somewhere. I always show it off every once in a while. I combined the trailer for the movie Con Air with the episode of Cowboy Bebop where they go to that prison ship, and it's like a big jet episode, and I combined the two together. And I spent so much time matching mouths, matching scene. If there was a sound in the trailer of like an explosion, I was like, I need a clip of an explosion. I like went, it was just to test and see if I could do it. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, upload to AMV, enjoy. It is not music. It is not. I was just like, enjoy this. That's a thing I made. I was so proud of that.
Yeah.
Hilariously, if you look at it now, because of the time, you know, there was no widescreen or 1080 or even 720. This thing, if you play it in a modern screen, is like this big because it's a 4x3 from
right.
like 2002. It's ridiculous.
Oh my
I was
gosh.
Like, we've come so far. Yeah.
You don't realize until you try to go backwards and watch something that you were obsessed with when you were younger. And you're like, it's so grainy.
Every time
Did
I go
always
back
look
and
like
wanna,
that?
Yeah. Every time I go back and want to look at any old YTMND memes.
Oh my
I will,
God.
I haven't thought about it. There's a bunch on YouTube.
You're the man now, dog. I haven't thought about that in forever.
I will not go to YTMND, the website, because I'm pretty sure that's all viruses
it's
now.
It's got to be all viruses at this point. Yeah.
I would not go there. But they translate like a bunch of stuff's over on YouTube. And the stuff that's on YouTube, when you watch it, I was really having like an NEDM moment the other day. I was like, NEDM. I was having like a moment where I was like, I want to go back and look at some of those memes. They're the grainiest, worst trash I've ever seen. I was like, this had me for years.
Yeah.
I was so into this, and now I'm like, this is kind of shit.
Yeah. I have a vivid memory of Total Biscuit and I sending each other like LOL rage memes with the stick figures.
Yes.
And sometimes I think back, I don't know why that's such a core memory for me, but sometimes I think back to that and I'm like, I used to think that shit was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I used to think, I want to hear where you're going with
no,
this.
No, that was it. Oh, that was the whole thing. It's just like, sometimes you have a snapshot memory where you're like, man, I loved this. And you know, you can't go back. It just doesn't work anymore.
I loved it so much that my Steam name is based on a YTMND meme. It literally, it's the meme of Jordy LaFleur. You know, it's like, it plays that Nightwish song. And it's Jordy LaForge from Star Trek dramatically rolling under a door that he did not need to roll under. The door is going, and he's like, oh, and he like rolls under the door. That epic maneuver, that's my Steam name. That's been my Steam amazing. Name for years.
What a what good name lore. I love that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's beautiful. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I was like, they really tried to make that dramatic, and it's not. It's the man rolls under a door that is not going to close fast. Yeah, so there you go.
Were you into, did you ever get into the like, Weeble Wobble, like, Badger shit?
Oh, you mean the, like, the more Flash stuff?
Yeah.
Like Newgrounds and things?
Yeah.
I would watch it, but I wasn't like a Newgrounds kid. Mm. Most of my time was, honest to God, like way too much Counter-Strike. Check out the latest YTMND or E-Bombs World meme. And then when YTMND and E-Bombs World started fighting, y'all, if you're too young to remember this, it was like World War III. E-Bombs World and YTMND went at it to the point where they were like making diss tracks for each other. They were going at it. Was crazy. The whole world was losing. They were just like, the internet was going nuts. It was so wild. But I spent a lot of time playing Counter-Strike and then going to school, so I didn't have a lot of gross. I'd go every once in a while. I'd go to look at, oh boy, this is a weird admission, but whatever, it's too late for me.
Yeah,
someone would send me a video or something, like some sort of Flash video that would always link back, and it would be like the dirtiest animation you've ever seen, but also really weird and disturbing. Uh-huh. Like a little strange. You're like, oh yeah, no, this seems like Flash. This seems like a Flash video. Right. And you're like, oh, cool. All right. Yeah.
I went through a stage where I was really, really into, wait for it, Homestar10.net. It's .com. Homestar Runner.
I love Homestar Runner.
I adored it. When there was a new strong bad email, everything stopped. I couldn't get anything done.
Yeah, there was a time when I could do strong bad. I could do Homestar Runner. I forget how to do it, but the one voice I still have, the ugly one.
Oh my God. Teen Girl Squad. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Those are good. See, there was. I'm gonna say something, and I know that we all understand this. I think money killed the internet. There was a time, you know, where the internet was so pure and distilled in goofery
because everybody was just making what they thought would be fun to make. Yeah.
And sure, you probably got a virus half the time you looked around the internet. Sure, but. But when people realized they could extract money from it, it became the worst. And I miss those days where it was innocent in that you didn't realize people were stealing your information. But at the same time, you'd like go to a website and be like, well, that was a funny goof. I'm going to share it with my friends. And that was it.
Yeah, there are a few places on the internet where I still kind of get that vibe. Anytime I watch a Worthy Kids thing, I don't know if you ever watch Worthy Kids, but like Worthy Kids feels fully like a really creative dude just making whatever he wants, and it resonates with people and they're like, I love this. You know?
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I love that. But it's more often than not, yeah, people at a certain point have to gear switch toward like, well, what do people want to see? I need to make that.
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel like about Vine and how Vine had this sort of innocence to it that was very sweet and endearing. And then Vine died. And then that innocence translated to, well, we're going to take the same Vine thing and just take it to YouTube and make as much money as we can off of it. And it's like, Cool. And I think TikTok had a little bit of that at the beginning, where TikTok had this, well, no one's going to make a cent off this. You're making like 30-second videos. And then the minute people started making money, the videos became like some of the most clickbait. I still feel like a detective, but also an angry person when I discovered that there's a series of videos mm-hmm. where a bunch of people that are like, it's like, you know, the camera's on this couple and they're fighting and it's like, you slept with my sister and now you got pregnant. Oh, and then if you go to their page, it's these same people in different scenarios just acting out these scenarios for rage clicks. And I'm like, it's brilliant, but I hate every single person in this. Like, if you're trying to make as much money as quickly as possible, they've figured it out. But I hate that this is the thing now.
Sure.
Or the people that are like, so the other day I got caught up in the craziest story. I couldn't believe everything that happened to me. It's going to shock you. It's going to freak you out. Click for part two.
Click for part like two. I knew that's what you were going to say.
I'm like, no, I will not click for part two.
Yeah.
And it's just because got to get them clicks up. Got to get them. It's infuriating. I almost missed the time where it was like a random girl being like, goop, gorp, I'm making a face. At least that had like a level of like, all right, well, this is what this platform is. Instead of just like the most insane. I literally watched a long video on TikTok where a woman said the Roman Empire didn't exist. Like, that's one of the craziest. I can't. Some days I'm like, Dodger, I think the internet, I think this is it. This is the end. We're on life support.
Yeah. Vine really, not to, you know, take a step backwards, but like, I think Vine was really interesting because it constrained people in ways where like really creative people were like, I can tell a whole story in 6 seconds, you know? Mm-hmm. And they did. And it was so fascinating. And, you know, and then we have like 10-second films on YouTube and stuff. There, when the algorithm was really prioritizing frequent short content, it was their time for sure.
Yeah.
It's not that anymore, in case you were curious, dear listeners.
It is a weird, weird time because algorithms both love short content and love 4 hour long, I'm gonna listen to it in the background content.
Yep.
But if you create a video anywhere in between, you're lost in the shuffle. And it's like, well, I don't wanna talk for 4 hours, but I have more to say than 30 seconds. So what do I do?
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't care. Deal with it. It's very strange.
This is adjacent. It's like on the same tree, but not quite on the same topic. I just want,
sure,
because we had Crendor on recently and we were talking about his FYP and how it started to infect my FYP. We are now friends on the Tikistakis. And the last few videos that I've sent him, he's immediately said, yeah, I already saw this. And I was like, my FYP is a Crendor FYP now. I hate that.
You got it. Similar to what you were saying about being on an adjacent, you know, branch, you got to get the version that is kind of like near him, but not really. So I sent him one that's a dude singing about how he wants to bang aliens. Crendor doesn't have that, but I know Crendor will enjoy it.
Sure.
And so, yeah. And then Crendor will send me ones that's like some dude in the room who's like, I like to be pretty. And he just starts like doing a dance. And I'm like, now that's a Crendor video. I would never see that. But, and then
the one I sent him today, I thought for sure was like a Dodger flavored Crendor video. Does that make sense?
I know what you mean.
It was two dudes dressed up as like, you know, Japanese style hosts, waking up a dude on the couch, calling him Ojo-sama, and then doing a dance. And I was like, this is Dodger-coded Crendor video, for sure.
Sure.
Sent it to him, and he was like, oh, yeah, I saw this a while ago. Fuck.
Let me explain something to you in a way I think you'll understand.
Yeah, hit me.
So you know coffee, right?
I do.
Of course you know coffee. Yeah. Right, of course you know coffee. When you add Crendor flavor to coffee, It no longer tastes like coffee. It tastes like Crendor flavor. And so no matter what you're doing,
right,
if you have a little bit of Crendor flavor in that coffee, you've got Crendor flavored
coffee.
Are
you saying that Crendor is the vanilla extract of content?
That's what I'm saying.
If there's even a tiny bit in there, you're like, oh my God, did you add vanilla? And sometimes you add too much and you go, ooh, did you add vanilla?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying that if Crendor gets in your content, your content
is
Crendor.
It's done. Yeah. Okay.
People don't say, oh yes, I'd like a latte with vanilla. They say, I would like a vanilla latte.
Right.
It comes first. So I'm just saying that's what we're doing here. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. You are Crendor content, not content for Crendor. It's where you're at right now.
God.
Yeah. So sorry.
Oops, all Crendor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. What are you going to do? For those of you who don't know, I was with Jessup and Mathis and Fasciani this week recording a Chilluminati. What day do those go up? Sunday?
Should be up this weekend, probably Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that was very fun. Yet another situation in which we derailed like really hard at the beginning. We're just a bunch of yappers.
We didn't derail. You were fine. I was fine. The other two, there was a moment, and I almost was about to throw fists. There was a moment where Dodger's talking about her subject, and it's a perfectly normal subject. And those two were like, think about the paranormal nature. I'm like, what paranormal? There's nothing paranormal about this. Guys, there's no paranormal. You can't just say it's paranormal. Like, what do you mean paranormal? It's not what we're talking. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't throw in words and be like, this does sound like ghosts. I'm like, no, it's not. This is a ghost.
It's fun. I love being on Chilluminati. I feel like I need to start planning now. Cause Mathis was like, we should have you on again, but like soon. Like we're not gonna wait 3 years again.
It took 3 years.
Can you believe my Tomta episode was 3 years ago? Anyways, I feel like I need to plan now what the next one's going to be.
I can't believe we've done 250 of those episodes. That is...
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's stupid. Why have we done this many? There can't be that many things to talk about. That's nonsense.
There is when you've got people like Fasciani being like, well, this is part three of chapter one of an 8-part... series.
Yes,
that
get
is
him,
part of
get him.
Like, of course you have that many episodes, dude.
Get him, take him down a peg.
He was trying to explain, dear listeners, he was trying to explain to me a series that he's doing, and he was saying it as though it was a normal format for podcasts. He seemed very convinced of it himself, but failed to convince me even a little bit, which is unfortunate. So I couldn't take his side. I'm so sorry, Alex. I think you're amazing.
The man, look, I know what he's trying to do, but it's not podcast material. It's like, it's something else. But the man's doing an 8-part series, and this is part 5 of an 8-part series.
Right.
And part 5 is broken down into 4 parts, except one of those 4 parts is 2 parts. If that sounds insane, it's because I think it is. I think it's the ramblings of a madman. And I've been like, how do you expect anyone to follow along with what you're doing? It's like chapters in a book. And I'm like, this isn't a book. This is a podcast. One of the craziest things I've ever...
I love it. I love Chilluminati. I've said before, I listen to Chilluminati all the time. I love Chilluminati. I love Old Canon Book Club. I love that stuff. Is the dynamics are always very funny.
We went to, I don't know if you were there for this conversation, but we went to a for Star Wars Day, the Old Cannon Book Club, we went to a comic book shop in Hollywood. And we did like a live show from there. It was very fun. It was nice to do like just to sit down. Obviously, couldn't be anything really topical because it was we're in front of an audience that had no idea who we were. And so it was just kind of like, here's our five best moments from the old book so far. Things like Chewbacca. This is a real thing, by the way. Things like Chewbacca ripping apart a pterodactyl, then sticking its body parts onto a metal frame and flying it like a glider.
Okay.
That happened, y'all. Or the part where Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader have a Dragon Ball Z fight.
Okay.
That happens in the old Star Wars. So it's that kind of things. We're talking about that. And next door to this comic book shop is a place called a place that is a Bigfoot themed coffee shop. And we were like, oh my God, this is gonna be so cool. We're so excited. We went inside. They have something called Cryptid Cafe or Cryptid Latte.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, I got to get this and I got to take a photo for Mathis. It's going to be so good. And I went and I was going to order it. And I was like, yo, what's in the Cryptid Latte? And the guy goes, food coloring. I was so disappointed.
I love the honesty though. He didn't even try.
Yeah. It sucked. It's like they had like 12 different signature lattes. And I was like, surely the Cryptid Latte is going to be a good cup of coffee. It's going to be weird. And there's going to have some. No, it's just food coloring that they put on the top to make the foam look different.
Oh.
And I was like, that sucks.
That is disappointing.
Yeah, it's super disappointing.
Man. Have you ever, you're in LA.
I am.
You do LA stuff sometimes.
I do.
Have you done the black charcoal ice cream thing?
I have walked by it. I've seen it. I've never done it. Something about black charcoal ice cream, I'm like, nah, I'm all right.
I feel like, yeah, it doesn't sound appetizing to me.
No.
It feels like one of those. So for those of you who live in L.A., or live somewhere that has kind of a similar vibe, sometimes, and this might sound ridiculous because it is, but sometimes places, food, lots of different things will become popular, not because they're a nice place to go to or because the food is good, but because a lot of people like taking pictures of it. And again, that sounds really silly and wasteful, but it's true, unfortunately. So I asked you this because when I see the charcoal ice cream, all I can think is, so the goth babes can take pictures for Instagram. But maybe it's good, and I don't know. I don't know what the truth is. All I know is that the goth babes take pictures for Instagram. That's all I got.
Let me just stress again. To understand where I'm coming from, when I went to that Omega Mart experience in Vegas, and I think we talked about this. When I went there, I was fine. I was doing the whole mystery. I was trying to solve this thing. But in between solving the mystery, I had to wait for people to get done taking their Instagram photos.
Right. Not I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Not like a family taking a photo there or like taking a photo of the cool people literally posing, looking like there were these three masks and the masks were important to a riddle.
Okay.
And this girl was taking like six photos doing like a, I'm examining the mask and I'm looking at the mask. She wasn't doing shit. She was like posing in front of it. And I'm like, I'm trying to save lives. Get out of the way.
But I politely sat there just like, take your time.
Yeah. I was like, take your time. It's fine. But I was just like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You are wasting So yeah, I will say, however, while I'm not into eat your charcoal ice cream, I do love the other side of LA that is like, okay, so I opened a restaurant. It's German Korean fusion.
Yes, I also love that.
It's like sausages. It's like a German beer hall, except all the beers are Korean. All the sausages are made with Korean ingredients. And I'm like, now that I'm going to. That's the difference.
Yes. The creativity in like a weird abstract way with food in LA is I miss that so much. I miss being able to go to a place and then be like, well, we got a huge influx of cod, so we've prepared a bunch of really weird shit with cod tonight. And you go, sounds great. I'm buckled up. I'm ready. give me whatever you got. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crazy city because everyone's trying to stand out, mm-hmm. and you're trying to make it big because the rent here is so insane that you'll see restaurants pop up and then vanish in 2 months because...
And sometimes that's exactly what they intended. Sometimes it's literally a pop-up and they'll be like, we're going to be in this empty building for 1 month and then we're leaving.
This is actually the same day we went to the podcast that we did at the comic book shop. We went to go get barbecue at this place that's nearby. Pretty famous barbecue place in LA. Great food, whatever. But across the street from the barbecue place is straight up a bootleg McDonald's.
Okay.
It's a McDonald's where all they serve is plant-based food. And it has, instead of like the McDonald's logo, it's an upside down frowny face with like X eyes.
Oh my God.
The colors are red and yellow.
Okay.
Everything about it looks like a McDonald's. The place was packed. But it wasn't like people munching down burgers. It's literally like people, like a coffee shop. People are just sitting around doing, you know, like it's just crazy stuff, and you're like, yeah, this is very LA.
You're very right though. LA. Everybody's really convinced you have to do something unique in one direction or another in order for anybody to pay attention, because the city is so sprawling and so dense at the same time. But it's like, how do I get eyeballs on me when there's thousands of other places doing the same thing as me?
Yeah,
and that's hard. I don't envy them.
But it is great. It is great for us as consumers.
Sure.
Because anywhere you're at in this city, you could be West Side, you could be like in the Valley, you could be in Glendale, you could be downtown. There is so much choice.
Yeah.
You can never really go wrong. And if you do go wrong once, don't worry, that restaurant won't be there anymore in like a month. Like, you know, it's, if you're bad, you just don't cut it in the city. And so every place you go, usually it's going to be delicious. And weird and unique and strange, and you'll find anything. Like, there's not a food you can't find in this city, which I'm blessed for choice. It is a weird, boy, this is a strange transition, but it's kind of like how I feel about Xbox right now. Bing! Oh,
okay.
Xbox Game Pass is great for consumers.
Yeah.
But much like trying to run a restaurant in this city or trying to do anything creatively in this city, it's a dangerous game and you will not last. And it's absolutely shit for the people who are on the business end. And I think Xbox is very same, where Xbox Game Pass is a great deal for consumers, but everyone involved with that, like when Xbox buys you up and then throws you on Game Pass, they kill your company's gone after that. It is terrible for devs. It is one of the worst things. It can be a great thing for consumers, but like devs are getting the shaft. And then Xbox just continues to shaft devs over and over and over again, while at the same time giving the best deal in gaming, which is like such a, I want to be like, do not get Game Pass. Game Pass, do not support Xbox. Do not help them anymore. Ruin game companies like they're doing. But it's still the best deal for a consumer, which is such a hard thing, right? Because like, if you go back to the food, you want to support the place that opened up in your community. You want to do this thing. But like, if they're getting shafted, if all those people working there are getting screwed over, then like, you know, it's a weird vibe. And I honestly am not sure what the true answer is. I want to be like, yo, F Xbox. Right now what they're doing is terrible. But if you're short on funds and you like video games, Game Pass still is the best. Like, sure. I don't know. I have no answers for people.
Almost every indie game that I play, somebody in chat will be like, oh, I saw this on Game Pass. And I'm like, God, they have a lot of stuff on there. So, yeah, it makes sense that so many people have it.
Yeah. And I boy, if I'm just going to be on Xbox, yo, hey, not only is getting rid of your studios that make prestige games, right, like Hi-Fi Rush, insane, but then saying you need more small devs to make those indie prestige games after you got rid of one is madness. Then to say in interviews that, like, well, you know, the way we view game development as different, like there's different metrics for how you would like it. We don't like the way we choose to move. If you don't have an answer for why you got rid of them, it means the answer is gross. It means you were greedy as hell and investors wanted more money and you got rid of like parts of your infrastructure, your company that like wasn't generating live revenue where you like buy microtransaction shit. It's so, it's just, I don't know what's going on over there, man. It's Sony was there and I think Sony still is, but at least they're smart enough to recognize bad PR when they screw up things like Helldivers and everyone's like, this is the, you finally had a game that was amazing. You screwed it up by making everyone Link.
And they walked that whole thing back. Yeah.
Right. And I will bet that it killed a lot of the actual player base. I'm sure there are a lot of people still playing Helldivers, but I bet a lot of people are like, I'm done. I'm done. And they uninstalled. Look, I uninstalled the game when they said, we're going to make you connect. Hmm. Uninstalled it. And then I just haven't reinstalled it. I love Helldivers. Right. I just haven't gone back and reinstalled it. And because I'm like, I got a bad taste now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on with all of them. I know a lot of companies need the extra capital to make their games, so they'll sign with Xbox or Sony. But if you don't need it, do not give your rights. Do not let them control you, because clearly they are not in your best interest, but that's just me.
Yeah. Typically, unfortunately, anything that makes a bunch of stuff really cheap for us as consumers is screwing over a bunch of people on the back end. It's that way in fashion, in games, in pretty much everything. You know, how are they able to give you everything so cheap?
And it's incredibly hard to say,
unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's like incredibly hard to say to someone, this goes Walmart or whatever, right? It's incredibly hard to say, hey, you, don't buy there. Go support your local shops. But if the local shops are more expensive and you have a like income
Absolutely.
That you... It's hard to tell someone, don't do that, when it's like, that's the only place I can go and afford.
Yeah.
And same thing with games. If you want to play a lot of games, but you can't afford a lot of games... Game Pass is the cheapest thing you can do. And so to say to people, don't support them anymore, it's basically saying stop playing games to that person.
Mm.
And it's very hard to say that and expect someone to be like, yeah, damn right. You know, I think saying stuff like that comes from a place of privilege of like,
100%.
You and I can go out and afford games.
Yes.
And so I would be a fool to be like, everyone,
stop
it.
Yeah.
Buy games individually based on the quality of their character. Like, yeah, in a perfect world, that's what I would say to people. But, you know, people in chat are saying Amazon. Yeah, I Amazon is basically a monopoly.
Yeah.
And to many people, it'd be like, yes, go and support your local businesses and buy. But at the same time, there's times where I've gone to local businesses and then another product I need. But I go to Amazon, I type it in, it's right there. And it's like... I'm part of the problem too.
For sure. Yeah, I have a couple of friends that like run small businesses out of their homes. And they've said that a lot of the like angry feedback that they get typically has to do with shipping taking too long. And they're like, but the only reason that you think a thing should show up literally tomorrow is because of people like Amazon, right? Like, I can't do that shit. I don't have the infrastructure to get this to you literally tomorrow, you know? So yeah, this is kind of a side tangent, but we're also just sort of used to convenience. What's going to be the most convenient thing that I can do?
Sure. And shout out to The Good Place for just really nailing it. When they talk about like how to get in heaven and the feedback loop of like, oh, you ate that apple and like all the different things that like, oh no, you can't get to heaven because that apple was picked by like forced labor or whatever, right? Same thing here. Everyone's like, I love the convenience of Amazon or quick packaging, but it's like, you know that you've heard the stories where drivers have to pee in bottles and people are like dying of heart attacks running around warehouses. And there's like encampments of people who live outside the warehouses because they can't afford a home, but they have to have it. Like, you know that's happening, but it's still like, well, where else am I supposed to buy this stuff? It's like when people hear about phones being made in China by like people who are committing suicide because like the worst job in the world. And it's like, well, I gotta have my phone. Like, that's. It's,
and again,
you know,
again, we admit that we also buy things off of Amazon and are part of the problem.
Absolutely. Look, it's the Good Place episode. There, no one's getting out unscathed. There is no, well, we're all perfect. Like, Good Place is a great show, by the way. It's a brilliant show.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism, et cetera, et cetera, conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And how no one is clean is the vibe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Oh, yeah. Josh is right. We'll both admit that. Yeah, we're dirty as hell when it comes to buying stuff that probably, like, we shouldn't, but I need that thing for this thing that I'm doing, and it's the only place I can get the thing. So what do you want me to do? It's rough.
To skew this into a positive, maybe helpful thing, there's there are people that make lists that are basically like a impulse buy checklist. And they're awesome. And it's basically like a list that's like, I feel myself about to impulse buy a thing. So I'm going to go through this checklist and make sure that it's actually something I should do. Right. And it's questions like, do I have something else that already fits this need? Do I need this thing for a specific reason? Does this support my saving goals? Right. Like, it's a bunch of different questions to try and like recenter your brain to be like, wait a second, I shouldn't get this. I don't actually need this. I'm fine, right? So go grab one of those. If you find that you have trouble with like impulse buys, which I absolutely have before, I think most of us do, with things being, again, so convenient. But yeah, there's people out there trying to make stuff that can be helpful to like bring you back into the present. Something that I do with my kid that I also do with myself is if I'm out in the world and I see a thing and I think, oh, I want that, I'll take a picture of it. Taking a picture, there's some part of your brain that's like, and I own it now. I take a picture of it and it suits two things. Number one, like part of me, some part of my brain is like, I own a bit of that thing. And the other part is, I think sometimes there's a part of you saying, but what if I forget about it? What if I forget about that thing and I want it later and I don't, but you have a picture of it. You have a picture. It exists somewhere, right? It's very helpful.
I want to say that I'm sure everyone's aware that I'm trying to lead the simplest life possible when it comes to just owning things. Not for anything weird. I just moved a lot and I hated moving by myself. So I was like, I'm just going to get less stuff. So that's where I'm at. But that photo thing, so it's not on this phone, 'cause it wasn't the phone we were using at the time, but years ago when we did the original Geekenders and we were in New York, and I'm sure everyone's heard the apocryphal tale of, right near the Shoegasm.
Right near the Shoegasm. Yes.
Home of the $1 slice. Right. Across the street from that, I don't know if you remember this, there was a clothing store. And I don't know who the artist is that does that, but it's like the heart symbol with like the eyes. I don't know who that person, but like the fashion thing. I'm sure someone in chat will know what I'm talking about. It's like a fashion thing.
I have no idea.
But it's like a heart symbol. But someone made a bootleg version with the eyes X'd out. And it says at the bottom, like, F her or something. Like, it's like a weird, like, breakup t-shirt. It's very good. Okay. I love the idea because I was like, of course, going through a breakup at the time. And I was like, oh, man, I want that shirt. But all I did was just take a photo of it, put it in my pocket. It stayed in that camera until I had to get a new camera. I was fine. I didn't need it. It was cool. Afterwards, I realized, like, where would I wear that? Why would I? It was similar to the shirts we were talking about at the beginning. Hilarious. I want that. Why would I wear it? I'd buy it and then just have it. Like, I wouldn't wear it anywhere. And that's, you're absolutely correct. Sometimes those little hacks just work.
They do. And if I see something and I think, I like this. I want to remember this in case, you know, I want to treat myself later or whatever.
Sure.
I also have a Google Doc that's like, literally, that's like links to things that I've seen online where I've been like, that's really cute. I'm not going to buy it for myself, though, but I am going to save the link. And also, the same doc doubles as a gift idea list for other people. So if I see a thing and I think, oh, I want that, I try to swap it into who in my life would like this. And then I'll put it in a list under their name. And then when their birthday comes around, I'll go look at it and be like, was there something that I thought of for that person?
Girl, I'm about to take this full circle.
Okay, I'm ready.
How do you have a Google Doc for various items and not listed
not
songs in order in playlists? How are you that person, but not this person? But they should be the same.
Because all the stuff, they're all things that I maybe want to buy for other people or myself one day. With the songs, I don't know if I want, you know, like ska music with the Arcane soundtrack, dude. Like, I don't know.
I love that that's where you put that. Ska music with the Arcane soundtrack. Isn't the Arcane soundtrack literally just Imagine Dragons? Like,
is it? No. Oh my God. I found.
Do you mean the OST?
Yeah.
Okay.
I found Bones UK through that soundtrack. I found. I think it was the first time I listened to Paris was from that soundtrack. And I have gotten so into them.
Okay.
No. Good soundtrack. Really good.
Good show, too.
Very good show. When is the next season coming out?
Great question. I would expect it next year or the year after, to be honest.
Let's see.
That animation takes a while.
November 2024.
This year we're getting it?
Arcane Season 2 will be available on Netflix November 2024.
Yo, I'm hype. I'm hype.
Didn't you get rid of Netflix?
No, I have to have Netflix because my parents use it, and I mean,
that's
Netflix.
Right. I remember this
if
now.
If you're watching Netflix, I am not sharing my account with my parents.
No, of course not. Who would do that? Your parents that live with you.
In the same household.
In the same household, and you all share an account because it's on the same because you watch the same TV.
We certainly don't have three separate user profiles for each of us in there that we then use at different locations.
They're basically people playlists, okay? Of course you have three separate ones.
Netflix,
everybody
I'm
wants
a
to watch
nerd.
Different
I live
things.
In the basement of my parents' home. Yeah, come on. I live in the basement, so it's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's not even my account. Whenever, my mom pays for it.
My mom. Yeah. It's their account, really. Yeah.
Yep.
No. Nope. It's so weird to realize that 3 years ago, I had maybe every single online service that you could get to watch shows. And now I have the one.
I need,
and it's not because of my choice.
I need to do that. I need to just get rid of stuff. Also, I'm convinced there are probably a couple of things that where both Sam and I have a subscription. And it's like, why do you need that? Crunchyroll is one. We pretty much exclusively use Sam's Crunchyroll subscription. And for a long time, I held on to it because I was like, but my Crunchyroll has all the stuff that I've watched. And at a certain point, I just realized that was stupid. And so now we just have the one account. But like, I bet there's others like that.
Why do I have that comic in my head where it's like you being like, but it is all the ones that I watch. And Sam's on the couch patting it. And he's like, we watch. And you just are forced to go watch.
Aw, man. Times are different now. Crunchyroll isn't the only place to watch anime. Netflix keeps gobbling up shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I got our dear friend Alex made me watch an episode of Delicious in Dungeon. I had to do that. Very cute. Very cute.
Keep watching. It gets weird.
Yeah, I haven't keep watching it, But I saw the first episode and I was like, okay, cool.
Keep watching. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's fun.
It gets weird. The manga is also very good. And is done. If you like manga and you want to read a manga that's really good and finished, just read the manga. Anyways, anyways, keep going. Sorry.
Nothing. It was cute. I like how, at least in the anime, they use a lot of like weird static shots that are very funny, especially of that poor elf girl who just cannot handle it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cute. I like it. It's fun. Yeah, I'm sure everyone chats like, hey, it's weird. I'm like, cool. That's cool. But is it going to be one of those things where you have to watch like 20 episodes before it gets, because I don't think the mental fortitude to do that. But I love yous and I'm glad you all enjoy it.
But isn't it enough that Senshi's there for however many episodes it takes to get to the weird. He's there and he's so good.
Is he the dwarf?
Yeah!
Is that who that is? Okay, I was like, I don't know who any of these characters are, but I feel like you're talking about the dwarf.
I am.
I love him because he literally is just like every cooking show you've ever watched in your entire life.
He's great.
And I'm here for that. Yeah, I'm here.
He's such
I was like, okay,
boy.
That's fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The rules are the world rules are literally just like turn your brain off. You're watching an RPG. It's like people are like dying all the time. And they're like, no, there's be we'll just rest.
It's fine. They get rest.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cute. I was like, all right, this is fun. Yeah.
Yep.
But I have not watched it anymore. So, oh well.
You should. It's very good. It's a very good show.
Okay. And the,
yes.
Okay,
you should
the,
watch
hey,
it.
Yeah, what's up?
Speaking of very good.
Yeah.
Is this the time where I just sit back, relax, and let you gush over Hades 2?
I don't want to say too much. I will talk a little bit about it, but I don't want to say too much because I know that a bunch of you listening right now have been avoiding spoilers like crazy. So I'm going to try to give as spoiler-free as possible what I think of the early access so far.
Can I interject before you get into this?
Yes.
To the he's, to the she's, to the they's, to the them's, to anyone out there living their life. You have a significant other or just someone you're really into and they're playing Hades 2. Now is the time to get laid. I'm letting you know right now. They are so horned up. Everyone playing Hades 2 is the horniest they've ever been in the history of their existence. They are so, so horny. Just the horniest they've ever been. So slide right in there, playa, because now's the time. They are just so horny.
Somebody.
Everyone playing the game is horny. So just get in there because let me tell you, now's the time.
I won't refute that. It's true.
Good.
There's somebody posted a picture that had the promo image from Hades 1 and the promo image from Hades 2. And it said, move over, bisexuals. It's bisexuals' turn.
I saw that, yeah.
It's very good.
I saw that.
Anyway, yes, it's fantastic. If you guys missed it, it sort of like quietly, not so quietly, dropped on Monday. So this was its first week in early access. The first Hades game is one of my favorite games ever. So I immediately said, okay, I'm installing this immediately. So something that is not a spoiler, it's just a fact that the devs have said that I think is very interesting and so exciting, is that this game in early access has more content in it than the fully released game of the first Hades, which is amazing. So if you're somebody who is like, I'm just going to wait, which a lot of people do want to wait for platform reasons or whatever, and that's totally fine. Godspeed trying to stay away from spoilers. Again, I'm going to do my best to not ruin your experience. But if you're one of those people that's like, I don't want to play the game and then get to the end of early access and then be like, man, you know, like really unsatisfied, there's essentially an entire game's worth to play right now. And they have a roadmap for other stuff to release, storylines to end, all of that stuff. It is not the fully realized game, but you can tell that like they were able to do so much more with this game going into early access than with the first one, because when Hades came out, it was like a brand new style of game for them, you know? And this time it's like, okay, we're doing the same, but better, but more, you know, it feels great to play. If you liked the way that the first Hades played, feels fantastic story-wise. A lot of people keep asking who the main girl in the promo is. Her name is Malinoe, and she is, much like Zagreus, another like lore character that didn't have a whole lot of like stable story to her, which I think is so smart. So Supergiant is able to do a lot with it. Another question that people keep asking is, can I play or watch Hades 2 if I didn't really, you know, get down with Hades 1, if I never watched it, never played it? Honestly, at first, it's probably fine. They really don't rehash stuff at the beginning. It is a new story, new characters, and it's...
You're putting a lot of qualifiers
fantastic.
There.
Fantastic. Well, again, I don't want to be like, this is exactly beginning. What, the, yeah, because I don't want it to, you know, I'm trying to be really careful here, dude.
So let me ask you a question about Hades 1, because sure. I played it, you played it, but I'm curious, I never did the multiple playthrough.
Okay.
Did you do that?
Oh, yeah.
So you got, like, the real ending, I guess is the way to say it.
I got everything eventually, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. I only watched videos of it because I was like, once is enough. I'm all right. So, you know me. I'm not like the grindy boy.
Oh, my God. I loved that game so much. And I think it really did. I was worried when Hades came out of Early Access that I would be disappointed because they gave us so much during Early Access. But it really wound up feeling kind of like we were given a roguelite in chapters, which looking back on it, I think was so smart because again, they're meant to be replayed, right? You're meant to do run and run and run and run and run and run and run. And so it really rewards dying. Like when you die, you're not that upset about it because potentially new story stuff will have progressed. There might be a new character to meet, right? The number of times that I would die and then somebody would be there wanting to talk to me about something, and I'd be like, thank God I died. I'm so excited about this story. You know, the way that they did all of that stuff, I think was so unique at the time. If you loved the characters in Hades, if you loved like the ongoing stories and again, like Jesse said, how unbelievably hot everybody is, just the character design, so, so good. Yeah, you'll love this game. It's fantastic, and I keep being surprised by this. Like I've played it a decent amount so far. I made the mistake. I went on my phone and I was trying to look up a picture of Malinoe, and accidentally saw a picture of a character that I haven't seen yet. I haven't met them yet in Hades 2, and I was so mad at myself. I was like, no, I should not have Googled this. So yeah, there's tons to find. And again, they've said like all the characters aren't in the game yet. All the storylines aren't done in the game yet. There's plenty of content that is going to be coming out. So
I'm really, really curious to see kind of, cause I know there's a lot of art that isn't in the game yet. I know there's a lot of I'm really curious to see how, you know, you say that it's bigger than the previous one, at least in the early. I'm curious to see what length does to a big project. You know, like,
sure,
a roguelite is replayable. And the bigger it is, I wonder what that does to the actual, like, interest in replaying it and how you can manipulate the player to be, like, really into it. Even though it's longer and bigger and more intricate. Like I'm really curious about that as sort of a game mechanic. I don't obviously have any answers, but sure. I've definitely played games in the past where it's been you die and then you go back and you have to redo stuff. And oh man, what is the name of that game? It's actually really good, but it's frustrating as hell. You play as like a little skeleton, and maybe chat will know this. Skull? You play as a skeleton, little skeleton. What now?
Skull.
Sure, is the one where you switch heads.
SKUL, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah.
Skull.
I think so. That one is super entertaining. The way you can switch heads, it's very cool. Twiggy knows it. It's super fun. But when you die, the run back to get back to where you were is so long that it's just like, yo, this, I don't know. For me, not a game that I'm into. But watching other people play it, I can do it all day. If you're good at it, I'll watch you play it. But Hades 1, for example, I could get back into that because it didn't feel like I was doing a crazy grind because, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's there's a weird balance that if you're making that style of game, you have to nail.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what length does to that because, again, Skull had that. So there was, like, a length element to it that after a while, after, like, the 12th run, you're just like, okay, let's do this damn forest again. Right. And it's the exact same for, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if Skull has a bunch of different weapons and things, but
Skull has so many different weapons and different homages, and like every Skull gives you a different ability. You could have everything from you're the Skull of like a little skeleton soldier to the Skull of your human soldier to the Skull of your like a werewolf to one was a gunslinger, one was a card guy. You threw cards like Gambit. There was a shield one. There's a Dead Cells character you can be. There was a like Plague Doctor one that was really cool. One of the best builds in the game. Like, because, you know, it does the same thing that Hades would do. You have like different options for builds. And one of the best ones was you can get fairies to help you. And if you get all the fairies, I think Oberon or one of the, like, the king of the fairies shows up. And now you have the most ridiculous, your entire screen's filled with shit going around. It was so cool to look at. And I was like, yo, this is fire. But at the same time, you'd have that fire moment. You're just living your best life, exploding the map. You get to a fight, and then it's like, you lost? Go back to that forest, bitch.
All
and
the way back.
And it's like, okay.
I think something for me that helps with Hades, and I love rogue games, whether you choose your weapon at the beginning or not, but something that I think does help with Hades is like you go in being able to choose which weapon is going to be fun for you to play with. Obviously, it takes a little bit of time to unlock all of them, but like once you know, like, I'm a shield boy, love playing with the shield, right? You can always go in there with the shield and then just take stuff that supports the way you want to play with the shield, right?
So that's, I mean, no, sorry.
No,
I'm just interrupting, boy.
No, it's okay. Me too. I do the same thing. All I was going to say is like in a game like Dead Cells, which I love, I adore Dead Cells, but like you are finding weapons as you go and potentially not finding the weapon that you want, you know? Which is somewhat true in Hades because maybe you don't get, you know, maybe the god that you were hoping for isn't showing up. Maybe you don't get the right synergy, but at least you're able to play with the weapon that you enjoy playing with once you have it, you know?
I don't know if the videos are still out there or if the guides are still out there, but for Hades 1, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like floundering, trying to figure out what my kind of path to beating the game would be. And then I saw a video called the Guan Yu build. And literally you make your character Guan Yu from Dynasty Warriors. And once I figured that out
Incredible. And
I like was in it, I became a stone cold killer. And I was like, oh no, this is broken.
I get
and
it now.
Really at a certain point didn't matter if you had terrible choices for abilities as you went through, because you were just so busted. And I was like, yeah, now this is how I play games. So that's how I beat it. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah.
I just like metagame the shit out of it. But I like that you can do that kind of stuff, and it made me fit where I wanted to be in that game, where I was like, I'm the Guan Yu spear, let's go. It was awesome.
Yeah. So if you've been excited for Hades 2, I think it's fantastic. I love it. I love the characters. I love the story so far, and it feels amazing to play. And they did change up the mechanics just a little bit. I think they did it in just the right direction. It still plays the same. It just adds a new element for you to learn how to use. And I think they've gotten a lot of feedback, which I agree with and also voiced when I first started playing, which is that they need to be a bit clearer description-wise in what the boons do and how they affect the new system. I think once all of that is clarified a bit better, It'll be easier on new players, but it's, I think it's so fun. I love it.
Oh man, I was also just speaking of the game. The Hades 2 made me realize once and for all that there is, I'm going to say it, some sort of like British cabal of voice actors where I believe that they all like.
Are you about to talk about Alfino now? I'm just curious.
Colin Ryan, our boy Alfie, Alfino is in the game. I believe Amelia Tyler's in the game. Like it is. Like it's hilarious to me. and then late last night, Cid from Final Fantasy 16 is Galactus in Fantastic Four. I'm just saying, I feel like there's a cabal of British voice actors, and I want to be all their friends. Because I'm letting you know, they're all so talented. And I just,
yeah.
American voice actors, you got talent. I believe that. But I think the British voice actors are coming for your jobs. They are coming for it. There's like some like crazy, they're like, we shall have all the voices soon. And I admittedly, there's something about a British accent that like, it gets you. It has a little more gravitas instead of my voice, which is like, imagine me being like, welcome, Hades character. My name is Gargamak, the Lord of Sin.
Yep.
Like no one wants to hear that. That sucks. That's terrible.
My favorite is when you're playing a game, you know, like Hades, like Prince of Persia, and people will be like, why does everybody have an English accent? Why don't they have Greek accents? I don't know, dude. Because I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Because of the British cabal, okay?
Yeah. The British cabal off them, y'all. They're coming for your job. It's so weird to be like, I still think about Prince of Persia, the most recent one.
Right.
But I really enjoyed that game.
Me
and I still think
too. God, that game was so good.
I still think about, like, visually that game is amazing, but I still think about the fight that is in the forest against, like, the Forest Queen.
Yeah.
That visually is, like, one of the most stunning fights I've seen in a game in forever. Mm-hmm. Like, the different... When you go into like the shadow zone and then like when you, it's cool as shit. And I'm like, I feel like people slept on this game, but like whatever.
I think DLC is coming out for it. I'm very excited. Because when the game ended, I was like, where did this character go? What happened with this character? What's going on with this? What's going on with that? So
I know exactly what character you're talking about because the entire game I was like, where's the blue lady? What happened to the blue lady? The blue lady hasn't shown up since the beginning.
Yes.
I was obsessed with the blue. I was like, we've met every character again except the blue lady. And then the blue lady isn't even in the end credits. I was like, where's the blue lady?
Yeah, it feels like one of those situations where they were like, we're not going to finish this. Like, our scope was too big. We need to cut some stuff. So we're like, we're going to let this lady be a bitch to you a couple of times at the start of the game, and then she's going to vanish. And I kept being like, "That she's going to show up.
Yes.
It didn't.
Never happened. Never. What's crazy is
spoilers, guys. Don't get attached to the blue lady, okay?
I went to the wiki and was like, okay, where are the characters in this game? And I looked her up because I thought, surely we miss this character. This character is not here. Surely there's a hidden area we have to go to. And I scrolled through and it's like, blue lady is not seen after the intro. And I was like, no! You can't just make Blue Lady and ever not show up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was obsessed.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. It's super fun.
It's so good. I loved it. I'm really excited for an excuse to play it again, to be honest.
I saw someone in chat. I have no idea if this is true. But I saw in chat that the Prince of Persia DLC was pushed back. I think because of Hades, which, I mean, any game that pushes their game back because of another game's release is just stupid, all right?
That's crazy. Who would do that?
Why would anyone do that? Yeah, who would do that?
Not us, I'll tell you that much. I'll take that fight head on. Oh, my goodness. All right, we got to start wrapping up, my dude.
Sure.
Oh no, one of us has to give homework. I didn't watch the Brain movie.
Good. I'm so proud of you for not. That is, it's such a waste of your time. I cannot stress
this
enough.
Math has even linked me to it.
Neil Breen sucks. You just do not. Honestly, watch it on stream with friends. Like, watch it with your chat.
Okay.
That's the best way to do it. You will lose your mind. It is insane. It's not good. It's insane.
If you don't want to play Hades 2, the music slaps. Darren Korb back at it again with the Vans. Music is so good. And when the early access dropped, they dropped a bunch of the music on YouTube to listen to.
Yep.
So if you'd like to hear some of the bangers, you can go on YouTube.
My homework for you is, again, let me stress this. That person in your life playing Hades 2 is so horny right now, y'all. Get in there. My homework to you is get in there. They're so horned up. They are just...
Get in
satyrs
there.
Over there. They are full satyrs. You got to get in there. They are just like... All these characters, and you're like, I could be a character. Just get in there.
Write that down. Welcome. Write that down.
Get in there. Complete your homework. You got to complete it this week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Aside from our amazing game Gestalt getting pushed a couple of weeks, is there anything else? Did you want to shout out Monster Prom?
I do. Monster Prom 4 MonsterCon is coming eventually. A new trailer's out. It's actually one of the most popular trailers that we put out so far.
Nice.
And thank you all for watching it over on the YouTubes or on whatever you're watching it on. And it's going to be super fun. I may know some of the people in it. I may know some of the voices. It's weird.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
That's crazy.
Do you know any of them? Do you know?
Are maybe you? I don't know. I saw the list. Nobody really stands out to me.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I don't know. Those credits, it's a bunch of gobbledygook as far as I'm really.
I don't know. What even are these names? Yeah. I've never seen them in my life.
Yeah, it's weird. Nepotism. What is it nepotism if you just hire your friends? Is that still nepotism?
I don't know.
What is that called? It's something. It definitely has a name. I thought nepotism was parents, but maybe I guess it could be your friends.
Nepotism. The practice among those with power or influence, favoring relatives or friends.
That's what it is, baby. Yeah.
It's nepotism. Nepotism,
it's
baby.
Nepotism. Yep.
Oh, yep. My goodness. Yeah, exciting stuff coming down the pipe. So go check those things out, guys. Cool trailers. Like Jesse was saying, his team's working on a new trailer with the updated release date for Gestalt. Just pushing it a couple of weeks to make sure that it's all pretty and perfect for y'all.
Yep.
But that's it for us. Have a fantastic weekend. We will see you guys next Friday. And bye.
Bye.
And bye.
And
see ya.
Bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Daja, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.